priority. When you're in an aeroplane, and if you reach a particular point in an aeroplane where the masks have to come down, what's the first thing that everybody says that you need to do before you put on anybody else's mask? Put it on yourself. One of the first things that I'm just going to say in one sentence or paragraph even, is that if you are not the priority, that means that you are at the bottom of your priority list. Okay, if you're not at the top, you might as well be at the bottom. If you do not take care of your health mentally, emotionally, and physically, then you are going to struggle to cope with the chaos of life. And already after the first couple of days, we've talked about those things, right? That means that you are not being the best version of yourself as a father, as a husband, as an employee, as a manager, as a business owner, as a friend, as a son, as a brother, as a sister. If you have a stroke or a heart attack, you can't fucking work. So if you think that your work is the priority because you have to earn money, you're mistaken. Because if you don't put yourself first, you can't fucking work in the first place. You're going to end up in a hospital bed being nurtured whilst everyone else stresses about the bills. I cannot emphasize enough of how important it is that you understand that you are the asset in your life, and that there are people and environments and other factors around you in your life that will benefit from you being the asset and treating yourself like the asset. So many people put themselves at the very bottom of the list. I had an email today from a guy who said he couldn't do this challenge as much as he would love to because he was too busy from work. He was too busy with work. That to me tells me everything I need to know about somebody's commitment to themselves. And they are just going to continue on this cycle of shit through their life, continuously trying to firefight the problems of work. And this has got to be done. And that's going to be done. Until the point where they're either laid off, have a heart attack, or their family leaves them and they have a breakdown. Now, you could be working. I worked with a guy once who worked for a corporate company for 25 years. He gave his life to that corporate company. He got divorced. He hardly saw his children. He was forced on overweight. And before he got his full pension and saw out his career, he was made redundant. And it was even a shit redundancy package. And he sacrificed all of those years for fucking what? Missed out on memories, made bad decisions. And that's not the only guy. I have worked with guys, numerous guys in those same positions, same mentalities, who feel that work is the priority, that feel that I've got to earn a fucking living to keep a roof over my head. Of course you do. But to maintain yourself working over a long period of time so that you're not fucking drained, or that you're not such a miserable shit for so long and so bad-tempered that your wife decides to leave you, you have to put yourself first to make sure that you get the balance of your life right. And the more you keep ignoring that, the more the worse that that will get. And that is very, very, very difficult to take and accept and embrace. Because, including me, it is very difficult to come to terms with that. Okay, it's really difficult to come to terms with that. You're not a failure because of it. You shouldn't be angry with yourself. It's just a learning curve. This whole process is just a learning curve. And it's just about recognizing and raising your self-awareness about certain situations to have that aha moment where you suddenly go, right, okay, I fucking understand. Now I know, okay, where I've been going wrong. That's a great insight. And every time you end up suddenly going, I don't have time to go for that run. I don't have time to come home and put the kids to bed. While you're sitting on your laptop on your sofa at 8 o'clock at night because fucking the corporate company or whatever it is demands the work out of you, and your wife's sitting there wondering why the fuck that laptop is more important than she is, you know, that's where fucking divorces come in. I've had fucking guys crying down the phone to me telling me that they've made bad decisions. Fucking right you have. Okay? And the only reason I'm so straight up and harsh with that, and I do it out of love, I don't do it to be a fucking prick, I do it because I want you to win, guys. I am passionate about you wanting to win. I fucked that up myself in my first marriage. So I know what it feels like, hands on, straight away, knowing exactly what it is. You've got to wake the fuck up. Wake the fuck up before it's too late, before you end up in a studio flat, fucking trying to pay for that, trying to deal with the fact that you don't live with your kids and your missus anymore, trying to deal with the fact that you let yourself go, trying to deal with the fact that you're hiding behind a ton of booze, drugs, sex, porn, to cope with all of those things, because you simply didn't put yourself first. And remember yesterday I said, everything seems great now, you can manage it now, but it's when the problem suddenly gets too much, and then suddenly there's the cliff drop moment where it hits you in the face, that's only when we start reacting. Many of you will listen to this tonight, many of you will resonate with it, but many of you next week will go straight back to the fucking way that you were living your life. Because it's only in the moment that you really feel it, and it won't be until it actually happens to you, or you listen to other people and their experiences about it. Enough said. Let's answer the questions. All right. Please just hold the questions to the end, whether it's about the 28-day, whether it's about this subject, and then you guys have actually been like one of the best groups in doing that, actually. Most people just fucking ignore me and answer questions, and I end up missing them all. So just be patient. I'll be there. Friendship is not in my priorities, old or new, at all. Is this normal? Travelled and lived abroad 10-plus years. Feels mundane when socialising. Before I left the UK, I was not like this. Andrew, I think, like, you know, that's a personal thing for you. You know, does friendship need to be a priority for you? I think that's an individual thing. I don't think that's something I can answer for you, Andrew. I don't know. It's not a right or wrong thing. It's a preference thing, you know. For me, the only thing I give a shit is about making sure that you come first so you can make the best decisions. For me, that is the biggest thing. I recently started my own business in March 2020. It's largely been my sole focus, and my family have suffered from me working endless hours and being too tired to do anything when back at home. I want my business to work and feel under pressure to put the hours in, else it could fail. I'm doing it for the greater good of my family in the future. How do you prioritize and avoid a marriage breakdown? So Daniel, that apologies, I know I said it was lengthy one, just skip it if it's too long, but of course not. So that is a prime example of somebody that is in a position that they force their own self-belief in feeling that they have to continuously show up because of fear of failure. You end up in that position where you feel that I have to keep earning, I have to keep working, I have to become a slave to the client, a slave to the system. Otherwise, I'm not going to keep a roof over my head. Now, there is the fine balance that, yes, you have to go to work, you have to put the work in. You know, I work, I'm up from 4:15 and start working anywhere between there, but I finish earlier. I finish when school's normally on, I do the school run, and then it's family time. There are strict disciplines. The way that I think about my business is that, number one, if I don't get back to somebody overnight, if I don't do something past the time that I'm not working, number one, if the client's not willing to wait 24 hours for me to get back to them, I don't want them as the fucking client, okay? I'm very selective about who I work with. Like, I work with guys that are ready to put the work in. I want to work with guys that understand that there's a system here, that I'm not at their beck and call 24/7, that there is a system. And I think that's what's really important, that we need to make sure that we have rules within our life that we live and abide by. And Daniel, if you work for yourself, you can do it even better, because you are actually in control of everything. And you are in control of everything you want to do. I want my business to work and feel under pressure to put the hours in, else it could fail. But you could also walk out the door and get run over a bus. You never know that. You never really know it's going to fail. It's probably just a large amount of overthinking that's going on. Okay, and I think that's what's really important to hear, is that we overthink the subject. We think worst case scenario straight away. And I think that is the key thing here, is that you are always in control of your decisions. You are always in control of the next stage of your life. You are always in control of the mistakes. You already got to take responsibility. There's no point in having a great fucking business if your wife leaves you. The only reason that I ever work and throw my work in is because I want to be able to, like, share that experience and build something for myself. But it would feel a little less worthwhile if I didn't have a family to share that with, share those successes, share those breakthroughs. You know, I do it because we desperately need a fucking bigger house, okay? But it just wouldn't be the same without the family. Having a family and a business and having the work-life balance, and I built this business up for here. I built my first business up. I had three repossession notices coming through my door. When I left the military, I worked at the college. I had to leave the college, got into an old altercation with them. I literally, my outgoings were £2,200 a month. I had £600 as a side hustle coming in. I had to work 18 hours a day as a PT, fucking grafting. I had no idea how to run a business. And, you know, in those conditions, in those times, yeah, I had to put the work in. I had to, otherwise I was going to lose the house. But as you progress and you work hard, you then set your standards, you then set your rules, you then set your guidelines to then abide by and live by. And that's the whole point of what I try to teach men. Here's your boundaries, here's your levels, here's the balance, here's the four pillars. How much time are you spending in each? Why are you fucking working in the evening? Why are you ignoring your family? Why are you getting home late? Why are you making excuses not to work out? Why aren't you getting your fucking ass out of bed at 5 a.m. and dedicating an hour to making yourself better? Why don't you want it? And it's just that you've got to be able to take charge, Daniel, and you are in charge. You've got to be able to establish that. And I work with business owners all around the fucking world who desperately need help with their time and their energy and their management and their productivity. Delegation, priorities. These are key things in your businesses, in your work, making sure you're doing the priorities. Not doing everything but nothing, or the busy fool sketch. My priorities have always been my family and my work. Because it gives me security to my family. I have a business in the wedding industry, which has been destroyed by the lockdowns. Without the business and the social standing I gained from there is a huge void. Losing the business has left me feeling worthless. I'm trying to better myself, but I have no desire to work hard anymore. It's really not like me. So John, you've just suffered a punch in the face from life. Life has just come along and punched you in the face. But it's not the end of the fucking world. We get up and we go again. And that's the attitude that you really got to have with this. You can either sit around and wallow about the things that we've lost and the things that have happened. Yes, it's not fucking brilliant. You know, a lot of that is out of your influence. A lot of that is like uncontrollable. You can't do anything about that. But the thing that you can control, the thing that is in your circle of influence, is the fact that you can get your ass up. You can replan and you can go, where are we going from here? What are we doing from here? How am I going to make this right? And with that momentum, with a mission, with connection, with drive, passion, and desire, you can go again. 110% you can go again. Every single one of us, I'm sure, has been on the bones of our ass. You know, when I got those fucking repossession notices coming through the door, when I couldn't even afford to put the fucking heating on, okay, only when the kids were around, when we lived off Tesco value baked beans for 6 months, I always had that strong feeling that with hard work, it would come back. And even when I didn't want to work hard, even when I felt sorry for myself, in my little victim mentality that I was, and in my little depressive state that I used to fall into, okay, it really fucking like takes its toll. It really does take its toll on people. Link's not working. Fucking links. Let me just have a look. Okay. So you've got to go again. John, find what you want to do again. Let's go again. Let's get in there, you know? I use prioritizing others as a coping mechanism to escape my shortfalls. I struggle to put myself first. Any tips on how to mentally prioritize myself and learn to say no? So, it's a really good point, okay? Learning to say no and getting into the habit of putting yourself first. And I always talk and I always come back to the example of, if you want to build bigger muscles, you've got to do the reps. So if you want to get better at a train of thought, a pattern of thought, what have you got to do to make sure that that is more frequent in here? And that is by constantly looking at ways that you prioritize yourself. So it's getting into the habit of saying, if I do that, that is going to cause more stress and frustration. So when we do it and we get into that habit, we go, no, I can't do that, sorry. No, I can't do that, I'm sorry. And suddenly what ends up happening is the more that you say no, the more conscious you are and the more ability you have, the more confidence you gain in saying no. You do me a peppermint tea? Oh, yeah. Or a normal one, please. And the more that you get into the pattern on and doing things or prioritizing yourself, like getting up early in the morning and having a morning routine, like having a transitional routine from work to home, which I'll talk about tomorrow, like doing exercise, like not saying no to exercise or making an excuse, over a period of time, you start to change the way you think. You start to change the way you act. You start to change the way that you commit to yourself. This is one of the things that I largely try to achieve when we're on a 28-day challenge. It's an intense 28 days of pattern changes. The way that you think, being more optimistic, being more positive, being more focused on yourself, and being more conscious of being a priority. If you don't practice that, then you never... What's up? You all right? Oh. If you don't practice that, then you never really get better at it. If you don't lift weights, you don't build muscle. Do nothing, you get nothing back. Thank you for the task. It is really hard to look at yourself and be honest. I am sad with what I saw. I used to have money when I was younger, and now I am always worried about money and about what the future holds. I've realized by doing this task that I need to change and live for now, enjoy and embrace life. I don't really know where life is taking me anymore. One thing I know is that I don't like the negative and messed up person I've become. So Simon, on the very first day, we talked about remembering the mission. I think the key for you here is now is to go, where do I go from here? Where do I want to be in 5-10 years? One of the tasks, I'm going to give you a bit of a giveaway here, a little bit of a sneak preview. One of the modules that I asked you to do in a 28-day program is create a 10-year plan. And I teach you how to do that. That 10-year plan gives you vision about the direction that your life is going to go. And it doesn't mean it's set in stone. It's just a North Star. So for many of us, for many of you, you're lost. You know, you don't know necessarily who you are. Get up those stairs. You're lost. You don't know necessarily about the direction that you're going, right? If you imagine a huge desert, you get dropped off this huge desert and you just see this huge landfill, and all there is just desert. There's no reference points, there's nothing. That is pretty much most people's vision of their future. Just a great big landscape of nothing. No reference points, no paths, no direction. When we suddenly add something like a 10-year plan, what we do is then suddenly put a reference point up, and I call it your North Star. Suddenly, there is a North Star in the sky for you to then suddenly follow. So we go from not knowing what direction to go. We don't know whether one way is wrong or one way is right, but we suddenly see the North Star and it gives us an idea of the direction that we want to go. So what we do is start heading in that direction. And what we do is then have checkpoints. So we reverse engineer it. So we go, okay, here's a 7-year checkpoint. Here is a 5-day checkpoint. Here is a 3-day checkpoint. Here is a 1-year checkpoint. Here's a 12-week checkpoint. And we work to those checkpoints and we align ourselves as we go along. And suddenly you have a path, a direction, you have clarity, consistency, and control. And just by doing that, it suddenly regains everything that you want to do. Make me struggle with that. So guys, I just want to make sure Paul's just made a comment there about he's worried about being an unfit. This is not a fitness and nutrition program. There are elements. I do teach you how to track your calories and you will track your calories, but in terms of workouts, there are a few workouts. I'm not there to suddenly transform the way that your body is. I'm there to transform this and your emotional level. You're not coming on board. I'm not going to be making you do workouts. If you just want to go running or walking or swimming, that's totally your choice, guys. I just want you to be clear on that. I don't want you doing before and after pictures. This is about changing your life, not just your fitness. Robert was a superstar on there. Thanks for the time I spent. You know, the face up to reality. I often find spending time sacrificing my goals and personal well-being to help others in need achieve their goals. It's like I've watched professionally and personally those people pass me by, and I fell behind and struggling. Any advice? It's time to fuck them all off. It's time to fuck them all off, Chris. Remember, you put your oxygen mask on before you put anybody else's oxygen mask on. Okay, and that is what is really, really important for you to be doing. Okay, that's what it is really important for you to do. You put your mask on first, you make sure that you're safe, so then you can help as other people. Because if you don't put it on and you pass out, you can't save everyone else around you. Oh, where's my questions gone? Good task. Made me reach out and ask for help from someone different, making an appointment soon, which I hope will help. Simon, great to hear. I'm struggling thinking about my priorities I have had for the last 6 months. I have been rudderless, so not really been focused on anything. Just doing a bit of each, self-development, career, looking for a better job, improving social. I'm doing this challenge to help me become more focused. Good lad. Frustrating issue at work has taken up a lot of my energy and the headspace. So much energy plowed into trying to consider and do the right thing. Appreciate everyone's situation is different, but any advice on helping to put a focus and stealing issue in its box so to better engage with other priorities? I usually just turn around when I get into that position, Andy, and say, does it really fucking matter? Is it going to change the world? Quite often, problems are manifested in your own mind to be much worse than they actually are. There are really only ever a very few problems of things that we could really consider problems. Do you know what I mean? And I think whenever we're faced with them, you really know the difference between what is a problem and what is a serious issue for you to be concerned with. Most of the time, if I think there's a problem, is it going to change my life? Is it going to affect my life? If it's not, then I don't really consider it a problem. And I would just plough it into a priority set of where I would deal with that. If you realise that one of the pillars is accelerating way faster than the others. Thank you. Get some rest. If you realise that one of the pillars is accelerating way faster than the others, my case, health, would you advise reapproaching the pillars at a different angle to see where you're going wrong? Career being the knock on to other pillars seem to be improving, but still hamster wheeling when it comes to professional development. Is it just a case of owning it and asking more of what you can prove you're worth the investment? If you're doing really well in one pillar, okay, it generally means that you're probably doing quite well in the others. If you're excelling in health, it doesn't mean you have to be excelling in other things. Remember, this is a journey of longevity and it takes time, and this is about the long haul, where you can be in the next 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 years from now. and making sure that you're still consistent with that. So if you look at that and you just end up bringing them up, that's all you really want to be focusing on. I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. Always put work and family before my health and PD. It's expected of me now, and when I try and better myself, such as this challenge, I get the eyes rolling from the wife and kids. They really can't understand why I want to change and develop. Is this common? Yep. Every single challenge that we come across, we get resistance. Now, there could be a possibility here that if you've constantly been on a yo-yo as being on and off, on and off, on and off, I can quite understand why they end up rolling their eyes at you. If you have never been consistent, it could be just, oh, dad's fucking changing again. And I get that. I do get that. And I always feel like a partner should always be supportive. But if you are constantly going off on one and then you're falling off the wagon and you're going on and off, why should they think anything's going to be different? It might actually be telling you something about your own progress and about what you're doing. Why are my priorities so wrong? Work and money, what the hell? You know how to change it now, dude. I always put everyone else before myself, even strangers. I let my wife get away with murder because she knows I would always do it. Or sort it out. How do I start putting myself first? Stop setting the expectations for everybody else. Stop sacrificing. If everyone's used to you jumping at their beck and call, then they're going to expect it. Expectations. You need to change their expectations by changing your habits and changing your actions. For me, my pyramid, I'd trying to win my relationship back with my kid's mum. I worry about my family, always stress about doing my best at work and worry about how my children are taking me and their mum's breakup. I'm over-pleasing to people lately, 100%. And people do, and I did when I broke up from my marriage. You know, I did it with my kids and it probably affected the way that I parented. You know, I was a little bit softer, I let things go. I got into the habit of doing that. But you really got to be strong and stick to your values. And I think values, principles and character is really huge when it comes to your own development and falling back on those when times are tough. Right, that's those questions. I'm going to just come back to some of these on here. Good to have you on board, Bryn. Hierarchy of rescue, self, team, bystanders, casualty. Love it. So now have moved less than 2 miles from work Monday to Friday to save a 4-hour drive each day. Jeez. Gym sessions coming in, up at 5 a.m, enjoying the new me. The question is around slippage, meaning lack of focus around finances. Getting the balance with family being away and enjoy a glass or two. How do you truly create discipline? I think it's by having... I think you, to have discipline, you have to understand what you're trying to achieve in the first place. So let's take the military, for example. You have to be disciplined in everything you do, because in a war environment, a lack of discipline could cost you your life. So you have to understand the consequences of not having discipline, of not meeting a standard, of not meeting a value, of a basic principle that's designed to keep you alive. It's a form of character building as well. So if you're looking to improve the way that you live, the decisions that you make, the mentality that you have, the mindset of how you approach stress and frustration, how you deal with distractions, they all show your character. They all display your values. And if you have a lack of discipline, it probably means that you probably don't know what your values and principles are. It probably means that you don't know what the standard is that you're setting yourself and the repercussions of those standards. Discipline is huge. It's the border between taking control and losing control. And there has to be some elements there to help you refine and implement discipline on a daily occurrence. It's like doing the reps in the gym. The more that you practice discipline, the more you connect with discipline, the more you overcome distractions, temptations, or eagerness to lose focus, the more you can put it back and have that emotional connection, the more disciplined you can be. It becomes a habit. Discipline becomes a habit. How do I stop feeling sorry for myself about the past? I'm really making an effort to better myself now, but seem to almost feel guilty that it's taken me this long. Well, Neil, whenever I think about things that have happened in the past, there are a couple of things that I think about. Number one is that I can't do anything about what I've done in the past. There's nothing I can do. Absolutely, physically, mentally and emotionally, there's nothing I can do to go back in time and change that situation. Everything that you've done in your past should be the leverage to create the brand new you. Everything I think and every decision, every implementation that has been a mistake, or everything that I've done that has made me feel guilty or hurt somebody else or had an effect on somebody else's life, I look as a learning curve. It's experience so that you know not to do that again. I think that when we expose our skeletons in the cupboard, we can live a little bit freer. When we bury our head in the sand and don't deal with it, it will constantly keep coming back to bite us in the ass. So the first thing is to face whatever it is that's making you guilty or whatever has happened in your past, and then purely focus on how that will never happen again, the learning points that you got from that, and then how you are going to use that as fire and fuel for your future path. Past, future, waste of time and energy, where your time and energy should be going. I'm going to sign up and I want the fitness. This 5-day challenge has got me off my ass this week. I'm really looking forward to getting out running again, etc. I feel great from it mentally and physically. Does a 28 day keep the fitness up? Yep, so we fully encourage the fitness all of the time. There is a working training, there's a home training plan that's in there, and you will be keeping up your exercises as part of your morning routine. So when you do your morning routine, what we have is a post that goes up at between 5 and 9 in the morning. And what you'll do is write a little itinerary, like bullet points of everything you've done. That is to get into the habit of doing your tick sheet, tick, 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 to say that you are ready for the day, to say that you have put yourself first. And that's what that is there for, okay? So it's massively about health. It's about the four pillars. All four pillars, okay? But it's not, I think people sometimes think you're coming into a fitness and nutrition type of thing. It's much more than that. It's about building your habits, your routines, your patterns of thought, your decision-making, your work-life balance, your relationships with your partner and your children, your fat loss. Most guys that come in, I reckon on average lose easy between 8 and 20 pounds, depending on how much they've got to lose. Oh, that's such a good tea, babe. This goes against everything I've believed what makes a good man. I believed you have to sacrifice yourself for everyone else to put myself last. How have I missed the simple point that I can't help anyone if not fit to look after myself? Well put, Patrick. Really good statement. Who knows? Maybe it's come from childhood. Maybe it's come from urban legends. Maybe it's come from books. Maybe it's come from a stigma of how men should be. But I think that needs to change. And it's one of the things that's in my mission is to change, is that, guys, you are not being selfish by putting yourself first. It's an essential part of your toolkit to be first so that you can protect and love everybody else the way that they need to be protected and loved. How do you deal with family members perceiving you to be selfish if you put yourself first as a priority? I think communication and understanding is essential, Greg. A lot of people in the family don't necessarily understand what you're trying to achieve. And quite a lot of the time, the person on the receiving end doesn't explain very well the reasons that they're doing it. So if you turn around and if it's your wife, they're saying, I don't understand, you're being selfish, you're doing this, you're doing that. And you turn around and explain, listen, I'm struggling mentally and emotionally. Maybe I haven't talked about this as much as I should, but I really just want to open up here and tell you right now that I am struggling mentally and I need to find a way to put myself first. I want to be a better husband to you. I want to be a better dad to the kids. I want to be a better individual. I want to be nicer to be around. And these are the steps that I really have to take. And I would love it if you really supported me on this process to being a better man. I'm not going to be able to do it every day. I'm going to have hard days. There are going to be days when I need your support. There are going to be days when I need to have a cry. There are going to be days when I need to have a hug. And I just really would appreciate you being there. And then suddenly there is a level of understanding. And if they don't understand you, then it's maybe time to get rid of them. Anytime, Scott. I am miserable at work. Always pressure from company to hit targets. Made to look stupid when you don't. I have just lost my long-term partner of 5 years. I used to bring home work and talk, and she said I was moody sometimes. She has lost everything from leaving me, and I feel responsible for this. I am doing this course to change everything to get her back. I am now very lonely. So Simon, that is your emotional connection. I think I told you this the other day. I think it's the same, Simon, to showing up, mate. That has got to be. And it's got to be. And what you've talked about there is again, another example of the importance of putting yourself first so that you recognize the things that are going on within your relationship and your mind. If you are 40 years old, in theory, you've got 25 years left to work. If you're in a job that makes you miserable, why? This is not aimed at you, Simon, but just in general, why wouldn't you start looking for other jobs that are more interesting, that maybe offer more of a challenge, that might make you even more happier? There are no constraints. Three of my clients that I know or work with in the mastermind have all changed jobs through COVID. So COVID isn't, yeah, jobs are tight, things are not going great for everybody, but there is still opportunity. If you are unhappy in life, if I come into your bedroom, wake you up by punching you in the face constantly, over and over and over again, would you defend yourself and fight back? Too right you would. You would not sit there and let me and take it and let me punch you in the face. You'd fight back. So why on earth do you not do it when life is consistently punching you in the face and making you unhappy? The game has got to change. You have to start pucking up your ideas and start fighting back. You're going to spend the next 25 years in a fucking job you're unhappy with. Unsustainable. It's going to make you miserable. You're going to get to 65 and wonder where the fuck your life went. Interested in the early morning start golden hour. Given importance of sleep for well-being, how do you manage to balance the 4:30 a.m. start without going to bed at the same time as an early morning TV presenter? So for me, I'm going to be talking a lot about this tomorrow, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about the morning routine, but it is a case of managing your energy levels through the day. It is a level of conditioning from consistent practice. Remember, putting the reps in all of the time, and then you get into a good habit. For me, I don't have a routine at the weekend. I don't get up early. I don't particularly plan anything. I just, sometimes I'm in fucking bed till 9, 10 o'clock. And I catch up on my sleep at the weekend. In fact, I get like good 6.5 to 7 hours every single day is all I need. And that's how I've been functioning and running for maybe 3 years solid. And it is about conditioning. It's about getting used to it. It's hard, takes time, probably takes you a year. But I'll talk more about that tomorrow. Do you need the 28-day challenge throughout the year, as January is a tight month for me? So, yep, so we do them periodically through the year. I will say, though, guys, that at the minute, the discount that I've offered everybody before it is a COVID discount, because since we went into lockdown in March, I made the price a little bit cheaper. But once COVID has finished and it's back to normal, it will be going back up to its normal level. Yep, that's it. Jeez, look at this. Not a question. Sip your tea before you read this. I would urge everyone who's showing up to this and serious about it is also get on JB Podcast and listen to Mind Over Matter. My life over the last few years has been an absolute shitstorm of misprioritization, firefighting in every single aspect of my life, with the attitude that everything is of the highest priority, yet not getting any of them done properly or getting results. I've nearly had my family leave. I've been seconds away from walking from the day job. Just a miserable, unhappy excuse for a man. The principles behind the exercise we are here today, your podcast and your words, JB, have been the single most important thing I've done in a long time, literally changing my each day. I'm fired up and looking forward to continue this mindset from now on. Good man, Ben. Great to hear. Thanks for writing that. And great honesty from you, dude. Men have always been taught that emotional to man the fuck up. Something needs to change. We need to be more open. 100%. My worst quote is when another man tells another man to man up. Like, I can understand it in a banter form, or you pretend you've got the man up pill. Like, I don't mind that in a banter form, but even so, and that's with my close mates that I know that can take it. But you have to be so sensitive about what you're saying those things. And I don't mean you don't be a snowflake about taking it. But if someone's saying they are struggling mentally and emotionally, and someone turns around and says, fucking man up, I would literally turn into the fucking Hulk and choke them out. Because it's not a case of manning up. I reckon that 95% of men struggle emotionally and vulnerable. And I'm quite happy to say there are days when I come back here when I've been completely torn to pieces and overwhelmed just from a stressful day, and I'll put my head into Jemima's shoulders, my missus's shoulders, and fucking have a cry, and I feel better for it, and I'll quite happily admit it. It doesn't bother to me. I'm not interested in what people think of me. I'm quite happy to be open. I'm quite happy to be free about the emotions that I have, the insecurities that I sometimes feel, the low self-belief that I have in myself sometimes. But I snap out of it a lot quicker. I don't dwell in it. I recognize it. I deal with it. I'm open with it. And I move forwards from it. There's nothing wrong with being open. There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable at times. It makes you stronger, not weaker, guys. I get distracted easily, especially when it's something I don't enjoy doing. I need to get those tasks out of the way to help me be more productive or get another job. 100%. Priority. Look at your priorities all the time. Whenever I work with a business owner, the first thing that I talk about is finding your priorities and being a priority leader. JB, punched alarm. There's a market. I already have been. Anytime. Any tips for getting sleep? I struggle every night unless I've had a drink, which can be a lot. I've set myself a target of no drink for 3 months. Today's day six. Well done, Albie. It's great to hear. So the key, if I can recommend a book for you, it's Why We Sleep. I can't remember the author's name, unless it's on my audiobooks here. Why We Sleep. It basically talks about the science behind sleep, okay? Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. It's a great book. One of the things that I'll give you one tip from it is learning to go to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time. Most people will wait till they're half asleep on the sofa before going to bed. One of the things that you've got to do is go to bed. I go to bed at 9. So on average, like 99% of the time, I'll go to bed at 9. Most of the time, I'm asleep by 9:30. And I get my body into a habit of learning to relax when it goes to bed. When you lie there and you relax and you're doing nothing, over a period of time, your body will start to learn and adapt to you actually going to bed. You might not be tired at first, but when you allow your body to relax, it then starts to drift. And then you get up at the same time. And that level of routine allows your body to get into, and its body clock, to get into a good routine. Read the book, it will go into more detail. Good evening, I've been on a mission since last March. I was a chronic alcoholic and an addiction to cocaine, but I have been clean for 10 months. The problem I have now is that I haven't a clue how to move forward with my work life. Congratulations, Jason, brilliant things to hear. The one piece of advice, and then keep it super simple, Jason, is follow your passion. Follow your passion. What do you want to do? What do you want to thrive in? Where do you get your edge from? You know, what do you enjoy doing? And follow that. That's probably the best place to start. And congratulations again. That's brilliant. Good evening. I've been on a mission. Oh, just read that one.
My brick wall is a lifelong gambling addiction. I have had tried counselling, books, etc. I have almost lost my partner of 20 years 4 times. Moved out numerous times, but somehow she is still there for me. You've got a good partner. I guess I'm lucky, but things are far from okay. My fitness is shocking. I have a lot of fat. I always start good things, but never complete them, and I don't understand why. I'm nearly 40. I have nothing. I'm going to sign up for the 28-day challenge, and I hope this helps me change the life. Thanks, JB. Good man. Right, guys. So one of the things that I feel you're probably missing is the emotional connection to a bigger mission. All right, if you're doing the 28 days, all I'm ever going to talk to you about is what your mission in life is. And as you go through a process, you'll discover that it's finding an emotional connection to something so that you stick with it. Most people don't, because they do things they don't want to do. They do things they're not in love with. You wouldn't stay with a woman if you wasn't in love with her, if there was no passion or desire there, would you? You'd leave that relationship. And that's why most people stop doing the things that they're trying to do, because they have no emotional connection to it, no chemistry. And that doesn't come naturally right away, but that comes with process. Remember what I was talking about? Getting better over and over and over again. Sorry, let's have a look here. Evening, Joe, being listening later. No worries, Danny. What's the trick to focusing the mind on... is that discipline? What's the trick to focusing the mind on discipline long term? I think I mentioned that in quite a lot of detail a little bit earlier, Gareth. It was really about finding your values and characters and understanding the need to show up and be disciplined. And I think I used an example of being at war, military training. The need for discipline will keep you alive in the war place. What is the need for discipline in your life? A lack of discipline maybe will cause you to work late, drink too much, and that might affect your relationship and health. I felt lost for a long time now, and I've done this week's course, and I'm feeling positive in how to move forwards. Back, I'm concerned about keeping it up. I'm racking my brain to think of a connection to carry on. It just takes a little bit of time, Rich. Guys, any more questions? Whether it's about the program, whether it's about this 5-day, whether it's about anything we've done today in today's mission, then just let me know. I don't think I told you. So the cost of the investment, guys, for the program is 127. It's normally £200, okay? But because COVID happened, we put on an early discount since last March just to help guys out, to get on there and help him out throughout. But that's valid until Sunday, and then it will go back up. I don't have a passion in life. I used to be into it's Sunday night, Neil. Sunday night, midnight. It just automatically will change. I don't have a passion in life. I used to be into motorbikes, but I gave them up because dangerous. I love fitness and train regularly, but no other passions. Training's cool. Training's a passion. You don't have to have an abundance of passions. You just have to find something you're passionate about. Like, I'm passionate about jiu-jitsu. I fucking love jiu-jitsu. Absolutely love it. I love grappling around with other men. Getting fucking strangled. The link's on the post, guys. I'll see if I can put it up in here as well. I don't think I can. If somebody can do that, I'd be massively appreciative. From yesterday's, James, is your workout warm-up available for me to refer to? Yes, guys. If you go to my YouTube page, guys, if someone's got the link there on the top of the post, you might be able to copy and paste it for me. Let me just have a look here. I might be able to do it for you. I don't think I can. Go to my YouTube account, The Man Coach. Here we go. The Man Coach TV. If you go to playlists and workouts, there are an abundant amount of workouts there for you on warm-ups. There's loads there for you, dude. That was for Dave. Right, I've put the link up, I think. There it is. I signed up already for the 28-day, as I can see the benefit already of what I can do to improve with your help, 100%. Guys, those that are signing up, like, over tonight, if you sign up tonight, John, who's my number two, he's my operations manager, he will be putting you in the app tomorrow, and you will be going from tomorrow, all right? You don't start the program till the 18th, but you'll be getting involved in the pre-course and the app. There is no social media involved with this course. We are not on Facebook. You do not need Facebook or Instagram or anything else. You would just be put onto our app. Stephen, love that. That's a strong statement. Okay, let me know what you think of tonight. Let me know if there's any last conundrums. Craig. I thought that might open your eyes slightly. And it's great to see you back, dude, after so long. You must have been one of the first guys to leave a review on my book. And guys, if you have read my book, what I would massively appreciate, if it would only take you 2 minutes, is leaving a review on my book on Amazon. If you have and you haven't left a review, honestly, it goes a huge lot. I know it takes time and it can be a fucking ball bag and you've got more pressing things to do. But if you do remember and you get a minute, I would massively appreciate you doing that. Anytime, Jason. Anytime, Brett. No worries, Greg. Thanks, Ian. This will be up in a podcast next week as well, guys. You'll be able to listen back to it. Great to hear, Guy. It's strong stuff. It is powerful stuff. I think it's stuff we all need to hear as men and as people. Anytime, Rich. Brilliant, Rob. No worries, Mark. Great stuff, Simon. Hope you enjoy the book. Good man, Colin. That's great to hear. Loving that. Is it normal to have thoughts of anything? I would say, Gareth, definitely not, dude. But I think if like you're going through a really difficult time, they are probably just passing thoughts that go through your mind. Because there's a difference between going through those thoughts. You know, I used to have those thoughts an awful lot of the time and actually coming to do it. I think it's almost a despair type of thought. But obviously, don't do anything stupid or go down that road. I think maybe it might be worth you investing and looking to work with a therapist in terms of exploring those thoughts that you're going through. The name of the book is this. It's A State of Mind with That Ugly Mug. My hairline. Look at the hair difference between my hairline there. Hey, 3 years. Good man, Tim. Don't forget to leave a review for me. I appreciate it. Tonight has been excellent. The direct stuff I need to hear, 100%. Awesome, nice one. I'm grabbing a copy. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Feels really personal, mate. Thanks. The book is really good also. Thanks, Neil. Really appreciate it. Great to have you guys on here. Thanks for coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about routines. Let me tell you, right? That book, having to read that myself in that book, was 9 hours in that little pit, and I was wearing like a really heavy sort of t-shirt, and I ended up sitting in my boxer shorts in that little box recalling it. So when you're listening to it, some of it's in my boxer shorts, sweating my tits off. Is a fact that I don't tell many people. Been there, Gareth. Positive mind and seek professional help if you need it, 100%. We've all been there, definitely. We'll be taking the 28-day course, booking now. No worries, Tim. Be great to have you on board, Tim. I've got a long way to go before I see the light. It's a good start. Thanks. Good to know there are blokes out there going through the same shit, 100%. Right, guys, I'm going to leave you there. I hope you have a great evening. I really look forward to seeing you tomorrow. For those lads that are jumping on board, John will be in touch at some point tomorrow, so I will see you on the other side in the app. Just drop me a little message if you like in there and just say hi that you're in. And we'll be ready to go for routines tomorrow. See you later.